Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in.
And welcome back to another edition of Leaving the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, and my co-host, Mr. Gable Montoya. Hey, listen, we haven't had a chance to get back on the air. My throat is really shot. It's gone. I'm actually in Illinois right now. I'm doing this. I got a change of career. That's right. I left the union, and I am now. Gable, you got a lot of static on your phone, brother. Tons of static. Anyways, my bad, everybody. Anyways, so he's gonna call right back in, man. Where do we start the show and stuff? We have a lot of things to talk about. You know, we got Al Heyman, Rock Nation. We got a heavyweight champion, Dante Wilder, who just won this past Saturday on Showtime against Berman Stiverne. Surprisingly, that he was disciplined to do exactly what I thought that he should do. It's what's keep distance, stay away from him, and keep it at the end of his punches. So, anyways, I'm sorry he's texting me, so he's kind of distracting me here. Again, I apologize for my voice. You know, we're going to be doing shows here and there just because of the fact that I'm going to be gone for quite some time. I'm doing the training. I'm doing a change of career. You know, I'm doing a bunch of other stuff. At the same time, working on Leaving the Ring and trying to get some stuff off the ground to much better our sport in terms of new feeds and getting better content out there for our listeners and readers. Hey, listen, let's just get down to it. I think I'm going to be straight up and honest here about what's going on. You know, I know a lot of folks are very, very excited about Al Heyman, the announcement of Premier Boxing and Spike TV and so many questions, so many things. You got the De La Hoya TV that just was announced, what, yesterday, I believe. But here's the thing, and I don't think I'm wrong about this. And honestly, I think this is something that we need to be honest to ourselves, but you know, boxing fans, we're a really cheap date. Think about this here. You know, we had a really shitty year for 2014. Not a lot was done. I told you a lot of things that were going to happen and how it was going to happen, but none of you guys really believed me. You know, it really turns out that if you don't get, if you're not on Twitter 24/7 and social media and you're not throwing out your thoughts consistently and you got all these, you know, people following you, then you really don't know what you're talking about. But I told you several things were going to happen and how it was going to happen. Now, listen, I'm not patting myself on the back, but if you're a boxing fan, you already kind of see the layout of how things are going to be done. One is I told you that if Cotto and Canelo win, there's going to be major talks about it. Also told you that Floyd would intervene that. Why? Because of his ego. Come on. You honestly believe that he was going to allow two Latinos to break gate records and pay-per-view records? Absolutely not. Sad part about it is Miguel Cotto fell into the trap. And I also told you that he was going to put a curveball on that. Floyd Mayweather, that is, okay? And he was also going to start bringing up to entice us the Manny Pacquiao fight. That's exactly what he did, and it's exactly what most of you fell for. Actually, everybody fell for, okay? Rather than staying back and watching the way things are just kind of played out in the landscape of boxing, everybody and their mother just jumped up and down and was like, wow, yes, finally, 2015, a great year. 2014 was a bad, bad year for boxing. If you remember my choice of fighter of the year, I said us, the fight fans. Why? Because we hung in there. We hung in there to in a sport that we've always hung four and always backed up. And it gave us a really crappy year. 2013, we got a good year, but it was a fast-paced year. And that fast-paced year, we asked on leaving the ring, could they keep this up? Because they almost were following the UFC model, try to give us as much as we can, as much as we can take in. It's just almost like when you go to the buffet, you see all this food in front of you, and you start to consume it, suck it all up, and then you hit that point where you can't take anymore. Because there's not enough there to shove down in your belly. Well, that's what happened with boxing for 2014. There wasn't any more fighters to serve. The dishes were empty. Now you have 2015, and guess what, folks? Again, we're falling for the same model. Have we not learned? We are just like children. If you think about it, when your parents tell you, don't reach at the flame because you'll burn yourself, we're like kids. We keep reaching and reaching until we burn ourselves. We haven't learned anything yet. We continue to go in this cycle over and over and over. Now, some of you are going to be like, well, Dave, we got some good fights here. You got Guerrero versus Thurman, Molina versus Broner, Josecito versus Andre Berto. People, let's think about this for a moment. Guerrero hasn't fought but what? Once every year? Keith Thurman has been put on the shelf, and the last time we saw him, fight fans were not too excited about his performance. So you really have two guys that haven't been very active, but yeah, they are going to come to fight, hopefully. But there's a strong possibility there's going to be ring rust there. Okay, now you got Adrian Broner, and let's be honest, Broner's not that exciting. He's not that guy that a lot of us thought at one time. He modeled Floyd Mayweather, but he modeled the Floyd Mayweather of old. He hadn't done nothing really in order for us to say that this guy was an elite fighter, because when he finally stepped up, what happened? Marcos Modano burst his bubble, and he kind of left him hanging and looking to get back into the contingency of being someone to talk about. And the only way he's been able to do that is to be extreme. Extreme and stupid. That's the only time we ever talk about him, is when he's really doing something off the wall and dumb. John Molina was in a great fight for 2014 against Lucas Matisse. And that was really only, what, out of how many fights that were made for 2014? Out of the whole batch, maybe three or four fights were worthy talking about, he was involved in. But he came off of a loss, and he was stopped. It's a good fight. It's entertaining, but let me ask you this. Out of those fights right now just being mentioned, the only one that has the possibility of becoming a star in the sport is Keith Thurman. Robert Guerrero is getting up there in age. Adrian Broner, let's be honest here, I think he's at a stump of where he can go in any level of his career. Robert Guerrero, he's almost on the way out the door. John Molina, great warrior, has a right hand, but how many times can he do that? How many factors can he get himself out of a situation? We saw that with Lucas Matisse. Now, let's go to the Spike TV headliner that is Impossible Talks right now. You got Andre Berto versus Josecito Lopez. Guys, these are two people that are on the way out. They're not building fighters. They're giving you something as an appetizer that tastes good. It's good, not great. Is it going to fulfill the longevity that we all seek and want? Just because you put something on NBC or Spike TV, does it really make a big difference? Why are we looking for short-term bandages? Why are we not looking for longevity? Why are we not questioning Al Haymon? Now, let's go into this old Al Haymon stuff. And I'll bring in my co-host, because I know I'm taking up a lot of airtime here. But I called up Mr. Gabriel Montoya, and I said, hey, this is the interesting thing, because everybody was asking, well, what about Showtime? Where does it leave Showtime? And I can't really honestly tell if anybody's covered this, but I could tell you what I was thinking and what I was looking at. Now, if you look at the contract, and Steven Espinoza, who is the director in sports for Showtime, had said to a couple of news outlets that I'm not sweating it. It's not a big deal. It's actually a good thing for them. For boxing. When he says for boxing, it's really for them. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a contract, okay? And that contract is first right to refusal. What does that mean? Well, what that really means is that when you make a deal with a particular company or entertainment or whatever you want to put it, okay, that they have the right after they make that deal to look at every other project that is presented to them, and they have the right to buy it or pass on it, okay? Or they can actually match whatever's being offered and so forth, okay? So that's the general idea of what that refusal clause is, okay? So I could be wrong, but this is my opinion, and I'm going to throw it out there. This is the genius of Al Heyman, okay? He gets Showtime in the beginning. He locks him down to a contract with Floyd Mayweather and other fighters that are part of the Golden Boy stables and not part of the Golden Boy stables, but are being handled by the Golden Boy promotions, right? He gives them this contract, and they signed on to it, and they move forward in the projects of what Al Heyman Entertainment were going to do. Now, this is the kicker. 2014, well, let me back that up. That was in 2013 when Al Heyman presented this to Showtime. Now we roll into, and remember 2013, they had Showtime really rolling up and gave them much better ratings. There were like almost a couple thousand before they could pass Showtime. And everybody was like, oh, I'm dropping Showtime because I'm dropping HBO because I'm going to Showtime. Showtime is doing better. Golden Boy went to Showtime. They're no longer to do business with HBO. You remember that? Remember that? Now, so they gave him a great, Al Heyman gave him a great year 2013. 2014, everybody's wondering, what the hell happened here? Even myself, what happened? How do you steamroll with a great year in 2013 and all of a sudden you have a complete dud? Well, that's when the NBC deal comes into play. And this is what you call being a great genius businessman. Remember this, the clause. And I think that's the big part here is the clause. Okay, is Showtime had rights to accept or refuse the next project. Now, they're up to their necks with monies with Al Heyman. And because they're dishing all this money and there's no return. Remember the term return in business. You need a cash flow in order to keep functioning. Now, Showtime's got shitloads of money, but if you know any millionaire or billionaire, a cent, if they lose a cent, it's very painful to them. And they were losing more than cents when it came to dealing with Al Heyman. Al Heyman knew this. That's why they gave him a good stroke. He gave them a good stroke in 13. Because 14 was the model. It was the model of the takeover. And here it comes down, the takeover. Okay, when you talk about burning bridges, you don't want to burn bridges in business. So what they decided to do is they knew that 2015 was going to be a hard sell to Showtime. Al Heyman knew that, but that was the plan. He didn't want to stick with Showtime. He wants a monopoly. And how do you lay down those landmines? Well, you give a little and you take it all back. But you give it so much that they're up to their neck. They're almost drowning. And that's what he did with Showtime. He had already presented to NBC. He knew exactly that he can outbid main events. But he also knew that he could throw a bid so high that Showtime couldn't match it. So Showtime would have to let it go and say, hey, let bygones be bygones. Goodbye, adios. But at the same time, Showtime knew that they were under contract with Al Heyman and his fighters. So they had to stay with him regardless. And that's what Al Heyman did. He laid that out. He knew that he could present this deal to Showtime already knowing I'm going to give them a price they can't accept. And it won't burn my bridge. It will allow me to move on with other networks, with other projects, but keep Showtime as the back burner for what? Pay-per-view. They can't deny him on pay-per-view. Why? Because they're in debt. They're in debt in terms of sports programming. They need money. They need money to continually fund Floyd Mayweather with the deal they made. So they can't burn the bridge. So absolutely, it's good for Stephen Espinoza. Why? One, he's not dishing out any more monies. Two, promotional is a big deal because you got to put a lot of money and you may not even know if there's any return. So it's great for Showtime. Why? Because NBC now is throwing out all this money to build a fighter. But are we seeing that right now? Absolutely not. Not with the fights that he's presenting us. Not with the fights that you see everybody on social media jumping up and down. What we're seeing is him giving you what you want so that social media can praise him, and all it does is add stock to him and power to him to go negotiate and to continue to do the things the way he likes. Not to benefit us fight fans. And remember, like I said, we're a cheap date. We're not that bright. We're just not that smart as fight fans. We really are not. We're very easy to please. Give us a few good fights, and guess what? We're really happy. We don't look at long term. We don't look at 10 years from now where the state of the game is going to be at. We look at the moment. We don't look at how the pawns are being made on the chessboard. We look at what's in front of us. We don't protect our kings and we don't protect our queens in boxing as a fight fan. We throw everything out on the table, and whether or not we don't even know it, we're always taking it in the ass. So I ask you guys this, man. It's not the media's fault. And I know in Leaving the Ring, we used to rant that all the time. It's the media. Media this and media that. Media. Well, fight fans, you are the media. Fight fans, you are the blame of what's going on in boxing. Fight fans, it's very difficult to defend a sport that's gone to shit because you allow this. Look at you guys. You guys are all excited about fighters that you're not going to see 5 years from now being on so-called free TV. That's what you call it, so-called free TV, when you're the ones who are out there busting your ass to pay for cable. How many of you are spending less than $30 a month? I don't know anybody. $250 is the value of what you spend in order to have cable TV in your home. It's not that simple. It's not that easy. And for some reason, we think that we're doing something good because we're talking about it. It's ridiculous in how we do things and how we try to point fingers at Al Haymon when all he's doing is being the pedophile to us. We're just letting it happen. We're not saying anything about it. We're sitting back and we're enjoying the ride and we're smiling. And he knows it because we sit there and we go, Andre Berto, Josecito Lopez, that's a great fight. How? It's a good fight. I mean, it's a good fight to be on the undercard. Jorge Linares versus Yoroquis Gamboa? Wow, give me more. How about give me guys that we're trying to build up? How about give me Oscar Valdez? How about give me guys like Randy Caballero? Guys like that we know they need to be built and to see how good they can become to be great. How about that first? How about just not giving me some names we've seen already that we know that only have maybe this year left? What happened to building fighters? Fight fans, we blame matchmakers and we blame promoters, but all they're doing is teeing off of what we are accepting. Because we're so easy to please. Gabriel Montoya, go ahead, brother. Shine on in.
That's all to dig into, man. It's like a seven-course meal you just laid out. As well said, I think, you know, Leaving in the Ring, you know, you started as YouTube. You moved into, you know, website and blog talk radio and have been, in my opinion, a pioneer in those things, particularly, the radio and the YouTube. And I've watched you guys, Brian Fogg and yourself, Lenny the Fight Smith. You guys are, you know, all over this payment stuff. And I really, you know, good information is at a premium, you know, and I appreciate you guys' coverage. I think you guys have really been on top of things. And, you know, I've always tried to take a long view, I guess. You know, if I don't know something, I want more information. I want to know. It's sort of like, you know, guys that criticize me for the readers that criticize me for not saying immediately Manny Pacquiao had to submit to drug testing from USADA because, you know, just because the United States has slapped on the name, you know, I just jump to and think, oh, it's official, you know, when they're not even really, you know, they're not the FBI. They have United States in their name and their behavior changed within the sport. And so with, you know, looking at that, it's sort of like when Golden Boy came on the scene and got big, and they had, remember they had to rights or exclusive output deal with HBO, who helped create them. And they were being, you know, they were kind of the future. And but within that old model that everybody, you know, that isn't Al Heyman is trying to cling to, and everybody said, oh, Golden Boy is the best, Top Rank's dead. And then, you know, things kind of leveled out. Al Heyman came on the scene, and more, you know, myself, you, Steve Kim, I think Doug Fisher to an extent, Thomas Hauser, talked about, you know, long before it became in vogue for any John Q blogger to say
right.
That Al Heyman was becoming a very powerful force. And not only that, but, you know, we couldn't figure out, okay, why is he overpaying all the time? Why does Andre Berto get to beat Mikey Rodriguez for the title, a guy that we've never really seen ever again? You know, why does he get to fight, you know, Freddie Hernandez and, you know, knock him out with, like, you know, hit land nine punches and make $900,000 as the third event on the card, you know, not even headlining. And we haven't been able to figure it out. That's just one little piece. You're like, what the hell? And then Al goes over to Showtime, and he's just as powerful, if not more. All of a sudden, he seems to be running Golden Boy and in running Showtime and calling the shots as to who's doing what where. And it's just, I don't know, it's interesting to watch all this develop and seeing the NBC deal, you know, which is like 25 dates. It is a buyout. You know, people don't get that it's, he's paying for it. Same thing with Spike TV, you know, throwing up these dates. He's paying for it. But what are we really seeing? I mean, I was getting the sense when Al and Richard went into overdrive, when they tried to take over Showtime, or at least that's what everybody thought they were doing, I thought they were already kind of in retread territory already. Like, Maidana versus Josecito Lopez seemed like a weird matchup to me. Guys that we kind of see do things, and then, okay, I guess now we're seeing this fight.
Right.
That's what Berto Josecito Lopez feels like to me. Even Guerrero Thurman, I mean, do people not forget that Guerrero looked like hell against Mayweather? And, you know, I mean, his last fight, it was action-packed, but it just seems strange. I mean, I think what I've been saying a lot, and you've been agreeing with and saying as well, is UFC, the UFCing of boxing is happening. That the brand, and I think I was probably one of the first people to say this, although credit doesn't really matter, that's what the brand, well, the best are going to fight the best, or only action fights. When Golden Boy was talking about that, to me, that meant that they were going to UFC this thing, that the company brand is much better than, and much more exciting in the long term and easier to market than it is an individual guy every time. You know, if you got 20 guys in a stable, you're like, that's 20 different marketing plans. That's just not very efficient business-wise. But if your brand is all action, and this is the only place you come for this kind of fighting, that's much more easily to attain. I mean, remember the guy we were talking about, and we'll just keep him nameless and that whole deal by the wayside. But he was a guy, he was a lawyer that was talking to Dave and I, just to clue the listeners in. And he was connected to the business, and his contention was that you could litigate the hell out of boxing because it was so wide open. That, you know, it was just a matter of getting the right people to sign the right contracts, and you could
right.
have the rights to the whole damn thing. And I watch Al. That was when I was in L.A. That's probably, what, 3 years ago, almost four. And I sit and I wonder if Al was not thinking the same thing. It's no coincidence that you've got these Harvard lawyers that have kind of gravitated to boxing. We've got Ludabella, Bob Arum, and Al Heyman, right?
No, they're honestly,
what are they doing?
Right. Yeah. they're not doing anything.
They're squeezing the life out of the business.
Right. You know what's funny? They're not doing anything different from when the government goes, yeah, we're going to stop the war on drugs, but at the same time, they're letting certain people pass it through to the ghettos and minorities. I mean, think about this, fight fans. I don't care if you're from the UK. I don't care if you got $1 million in your account. You're a minority in sports. That's what you are. You're a minority. And they know you're going to suck it in. They know you're going to take it in because we're so starving for something out of our sport. We're so hungry that any little thing that has good, any match, let me rephrase it, any match that has a good three rounds, guess what? We say, fight of the year. This is great. Why? Because we are so, we so want to have another Diego Corrales versus Jose Luis Castillo. We're going to patch in some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. Again, excuse me for my voice. Well, I know it's going out. It's probably going to go out again. Because I'm
kind of hot, Dave. You know, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It is kind of that gravelly, kind of, you know, Neil Diamond a little bit.
I know. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. But, you know, I went to a leadership program for my new career and everything. And you know, other, among other things. And, man, it was intense. But anyways, let's pass in some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Let's talk boxing here. Absolutely, we started off with Everybody Hates Mondays. And, you know, the Mondays for me right now is us. You know, we're the blame for where the sport is at right now. That's my opinion. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about Roc Nation, their involvement walking into the sport. I got a lot of emails about what I thought and what do I think they can go in the sport of boxing. Then you got Dante Wilder, the new American heavyweight, who has a trickle of the titles of the sport. Does he go after Vladimir Klitschko? That's funny. Okay, so let's patch in. Area code 111. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing good, bro.
Doing great, man. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Basically, what do you think of this whole Mayweather-Pacquiao-Cotto situation? I just think it's an absolute disgrace, deceiving the fans once again. You know, it's been 6 years now, and, you know, we deserve so much better. It's, you know, it's a disgrace. You know, have you been following this whole thing? You know, 1 minute for the Cotto tapes, Mayweather-Pacquiao, you know, it looks like it's gone now. You know, it's just like the one thing after another. It's, you know, what do you guys think?
I tell you what exactly
you know,
what I think. If you let a thief in your house, if you let a thief in your house knowing that he's a thief, okay, and you trust that thief and knowing that the guy hasn't changed, he walks in. I mean, you got to give him trust the first time. That's what we did, you know, the first announcement, okay? We trusted them saying Floyd, because Floyd had never stepped up to the plate, really, and facing somebody that the fans really wanted him to go against, right? You let a thief in your house. Mm-hmm. He steals from you. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to let him back into your home? Guess what? Fight fans, we keep doing it over and over. So is there any surprise? Did I believe it? Absolutely not. I didn't believe it. Like I said earlier in the show, I told everybody exactly how this was going to play out. And guess what? Every boxing fan decided to put blindfolds. Let me ask you this. You know, a horse has those two blind sides, right, on the side of their face so they can walk straight, right? They could have to walk straight. Let me ask you this, brother. Are you a horse? Because I'm not. I can see everything that's around me. I don't need to focus on one direction. I could focus on four directions. I knew this was going to happen. It was a joke that so many people thought it was. Gabriel, go ahead. What's your thoughts about it?
Well, I think, you know, I was talking about Amir Khan getting a shot and people kind of dogging him. I don't understand fight fans. I mean, the guy wants to fight the best people in the world. I know he's been stopped a couple times. These are the same kind of people that would be writing off, you know, Joe Lewis or probably wrote off Lennox Lewis. Who, you know, ultimately in history, Michael Down is one of the better heavyweights of all time. Certainly Joe Lewis is. But they've been stopped before, and then they had a career after that. I don't like to judge before it's over. And I think, you know, everything that's going on with Floyd, I mean, to me, it's like all things that are bad in the sport, or at least the things that can be controlled by consumers. Fans have themselves to blame in a sense because, one, they keep getting their hopes up, and they're not looking at the facts. It really is going to take a lot of, a lot to make this fight happen. Two networks have to agree, two promotional companies have to agree, and two superstar fighters have to agree. That's a lot of stuff, you know, the drug testing, what are they going to use, the split, all this stuff, the gloves, the ring, the venue. I think it's just always been too much to have happen, and I think it's like you hit on a girl and you get kind of far, you think you're doing well, and then you go for the number, you go to take her home, and it doesn't work out. And maybe it's charming
going back the second time
you think you shot. But the third, the fourth, the fifth, now it's just on you, you know? Now, and so at the same time, you know, like I say, you know, like this guy came back with, well, you know, Khan doesn't deserve it, and, you know, this, you know, there's only one fight that the fans want. Like, to me, it's very, like Dave said, you're having blinders on. What if you only want one fight? If you don't think that Khan versus Pacquiao, who sparred together, shared the same trainer. And Khan looks actually pretty good at 147, and it's a tough matchup at any weight. If you don't think that's a good fight,
exactly.
You're a boxing fan.
Different.
And the same
Khan
thing
is something
with.
Different. Yeah, Khan
you know?
Is something different. You know, Cotto is not going to be
over
but and
what
over
I said
again.
To the guy was that
on.
By not... By buying, by whenever we don't get the Pacquiao fight, what do? They end up buying the fight that we didn't want. So if you don't want that fight, there's no such thing as deserve. If Khan can negotiate that fight, then that's what he deserves. Just like you know anything in sport, if you can negotiate it and get it, it's on. But I think you know, yeah, the fight, both of them are both matchups with Khan, are very good. But here's the thing: every time fight fans don't get what they want, and this is where they do have power. What do? They negotiate against themselves by, I mean, somebody's buying these fights, 800,000 to 900,000 people, sometimes a million, and we know the fights, who's going to win. It's not the matchup we want, but a bunch of guys, like a million dudes, screw it for everybody by buying the fights. So don't buy the fights, and then maybe eventually you'll get the fight that you want. That's what I think.
Yep. I agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
You know, going back with that scenario really quick about and I'm pretty sure plenty of women that listen to the show, they can agree with this. You know, it's just because they smile at you and say, hey, let's go out to have lunch, doesn't necessarily mean you guys are engaged. And that's what happens with boxing fans. You know, Floyd goes, I think I want to fight Manny, but does it really mean that he's engaging it? Is he going to marry the commitment? He hasn't shown any of that in how long. That's why I didn't buy into it, and that's why I didn't play into it. And you know what? I don't blame media. I'm not blaming promoters. I'm blaming me, myself, as a fight fan. You got anything else on your mind, brother?
Also, just a quick question for Gabe. Basically, do you think fighters like Mayweather and Pacquiao, do you think they'll be training hard right now? Would like their intense training will be starting right now, just before their training camp.
Both of those fighters, do I think that they'd be training right now? Probably,
yeah.
At least, kind of, you know, beginning to wake the body up. You know, I think Floyd waits as long as he can till camp. You know, to hit stuff. At least he kind of intimated that once. But you know, I'd just be guessing. You know, about his off season program, but.
Yeah.
He seemed to talk about, like, you know, it takes a little bit to kind of wake your hands back up, you know, wrapping them back up and hitting things. You kind of let them heal, and then you enter back into that period of violence. So, you know, I think, yeah, probably they're waking. You know, those are two guys that are never really out of shape because they're fighting near their natural weight, you know. So somebody mentioned they'd seen a picture of or seen Pacquiao pretty soft before, but not like grossly fat, but like you'd be surprised he's not as ripped in the off season. And I imagine Floyd kind of smooths out too, you know, but we're also seeing them with their shirt off when they've been sweating for a week, you know, all that weight off and, you know, training for like 2-3 months. So, you know, I can't imagine you can keep that level up all the time. I would target test both of them right now, though, if that's what you're asking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But thanks for calling in, man. I'll put you back on hold. Let's keep going down the line here on Leave the Ring Radio. Let's go with area code 860. You're on live right now on Leave the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, CT?
Hey, what's up? I want to ask you guys, how realistically, which I hope it happens, but how realistically is this Canelo and Prokin fight coming up?
It sounds like it's, you know, if it's not a done deal, it sounds like it's very, very close, you know. I think there's some question about Ant Wolf being in the corner, what kind of shape James is in. Is he near weight? Or is he near a place where he can get to the weight? Or is he gigantic James? You know, I think those are the big questions. I'd heard a while back that he was meeting with 50 Cent, and somebody reported it this week. But I've heard, like, I don't know, I want to say 2 weeks back that he was going to go meet with him. And they've been trying to work things out. And I imagine, you know, either they're cashing them out, and I think at this point there's a certain amount of that going on no matter what shape he's in. But I can't imagine they would look at, like, 200-pound James and go, all right, let's do this thing. You know, maybe they would. I mean, it's a rude business. Maybe they'd look at it and say,
honestly, I think they would. I think whatever advantage that they – that Golden Boy can have for Canelo? I mean, let's be honest. You know, Golden Boy has put a lot of money with Canelo. They want to keep him in the eyes and in, you know, I mean, he's the money train right now. Why would you want to put any roadblocks? I think two facts. Here's the thing, too, man. I got to say is that Canelo, to me, is a guy that really does want to have the bigger and tougher fights, okay? Is he a very skillful guy? Dude, I hate to say it. He's just not. I mean, I think he's topped out of what he's going to do. He's not going to be great. He's just going to be a really good fighter. That's it. He's going to have his moments, but I think he's going to lose more of those moments because he's just not that goddamn good. So Golden Boy needs everything that they need in their advantage, right? If Ant Wolf is not in his corner, great. Is he overweight? Absolutely. That's what they want. That's what they're hoping for. Why would you want to put your money, Cal, against a bull? It makes no sense. Now, Canelo, he's willing to go against the bull, but you think really Golden Boy? And I like what Golden Boy, the direction they're going, but again, you got to remember, this is a goddamn business. We need to remember that. This boxing is no longer a sport. It's just not. It's not a sport. It's a business. This is what feeds other people that have their hands in the cookie jar. Other people that don't love this sport. Other people that see they could take advantage of us minorities because they know we're going to take whatever's given to us because we rarely are given asked for. Plain and simple.
Well, I hope the fight happens. And I'm going to go with Kirkland on that fight.
You know, if Kirkland's right, I just I've always liked him in that fight because Canelo will want to fight, but I think Canelo has trouble with his stamina, especially James is just that guy that he's just a kamikaze. He goes in and it's like, all right, we're going to sprint. And I know this is a marathon, but I'm going to go as fast as I can, throw as many punches as I can, and I'm going to make you feel like you can land your Sunday punch because you can. And you're going to feel great, and you're going to keep throwing with everything you got. And by round four, I'm not going to be tired, and you are. And you're going to be a little bit more beat up than I am. And then I'm just going to keep going. And it's, I mean, he's just crazy like that. I mean, Toriano Johnson is a little bit close to that. And David Lemieux is a little bit close to that. But Kirkland's pace, when he's right, and I don't know if we've ever really seen him at 100%, but like maybe like 90% for some of the fights where you see he gets like a three-fight arc, where he builds to a big fight and then he has that big fight, like Joel Julio, Brian Vera is another one, and Angulo is another one, where you see him get right and then get just all over some top guy. And it's just, you always wonder, like, can he keep this up? Oh, my God. You know, it's, I have the same thought seeing him now in those moments as I did the very first time, standing next to Doug Fisher with, like, our media meal, like, in hand, just staring at a monitor. And he's going on, and we're like backstage at the Thomas and Crap. And I'm like, who's that? And he's like, that's James Kirkland. And he just, for a minute and a half, like just goes at this guy and does not stop. And that's James. Right. I mean, he is just pure chaos. I wonder if Canelo can handle it. Maybe Canelo catches him with something coming in. But like you said, Dave, maybe he's not that good. I think he is that skilled. But I think he's been holding a lot back because of his weight. I think there's he's just worried about
tiring. Good. I know. But, I mean, he's good. But there's a difference being good and there's great. I don't think he crosses. Oh, I think the good, whatever he is, what he has, right? Good is not bad. Let me tell you that. Good is not bad in boxing, but it's going to only take him so far. Okay? When it comes to fighting elite, Gabriel, let's be honest. Could he compete with the elite? So far, with two fights, he looked like he couldn't do it. Mayweather, Laura, just I mean, he was a step behind every single time. And there's gonna be his cheerleaders behind me going like, what? No, dude, he didn't, guys. Come on, let's go back. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's go watch this fight all over again and look at it and say, hey, man, he was a step behind. He didn't know how to adjust. He didn't correct any of the stuff he learned from facing Floyd. He just did the same old patterns. Now, Kirkland, honestly, I think a year ago, about a year ago, last year, I would have picked Kirkland. This time around, it happens. I got to tell you guys, I just can't pick Kirkland because I just don't see Kirkland has the heart. He's the Riddick Bowe of of the junior middleweights. He just can't keep a commitment. He's not focused. He's always in and out of what he wants. His worst enemy is himself. He needs to fight himself, knock himself out before he can get back into that ring. Ann Wolf can't do anything for him anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, bring Ann Wolf back in his corner, and guess what? He's going to fall apart. I don't see it happen. James Curling is a thing of the past, plain and simple, in my opinion. Anyways, hey, CT, thanks for calling in, brother. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Fight fans, you can call in 347-215-7598. We got a lot of calls, man. Pretty stacked up right now. We're going to be talking Deontay Wilder. Matter of fact, let's just put that in. Let's get about 5 minutes into Deontay Wilder, and then we're going to start passing fight fans. Because I'll tell you right now, our phone lines are really stacked up right now here on Leave and Ring on a Thursday night. I'm in Illinois.
Let's burn through them. I'm down with that.
What was that?
Let's burn through them. I'm down with that.
All right, let's burn through them really quick. Let's go with area code 787. You're on live right now on Leave and Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Yo, it's destiny that I get on when y'all going to talk about Wilder, my favorite Alabama superstar. Yo,
what's up, brother?
My favorite Alabama
superstar.
Happy
New Year, Riddler.
Oh, man.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, that fight was something else. That was like the Black Klitschko.
Hey, yo. Dude, you know what sucks, bro? Check this out. I'm in the freaking hotel in Houston. I mean, I'm Dallas, okay? And I'm trying to get on for the life of me, 3 in the morning, trying to find – before that. I'm sorry. No, it was earlier than that. No, was it? No, it was earlier than that. I'm trying to get a stream. You sent me a stream.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I sent you. Yeah, like, yeah.
That six guys sent me a stream. My roommate goes, oh, man, I can get it on my phone. We couldn't do it for the life of us, right? I'm hoping it's going to be a great fight. The morning, I decide, well, I'm going to go allthebestfights.com. And I was like, I was stressing about this shit. This is what I was stressing about. Like, literally,
yeah, like,
I wanted to jump off the goddamn floor of the hotel because I'm like, I'm going to put an S on my forehead. I'm that big of a sucker. I'm that big of a moron to think that this was going to be a great fight.
Dude, like, it was one of those nights where I'm watching it. I'm excited, you know, and, like, Showtime's really building it up. And the first few rounds, I'm like, okay, this is looking really good. And then, you know, and then, like, Wilder goes, it turns into a, you know, John Jones versus Cormier, you know, UFC for a few seconds. And after that, it was just nothing. It was a Klitschko match after that. That's no disrespect to Klitschko, but it was a clear knockdown. And then he it was funny. Like, Wilder's, like, saying, yeah, and, like, he punched Thurman in the head. Like, you know, I was like, what the hell is this? But it's no disrespect to Klitschko, but I can't see how people are excited about that and trying to bash Klitschko and say this is what the heavyweight needs when you saw, like, not everybody's going to be exciting in big matches. Even a knockout artist is not exciting in big matches. But,
right.
I mean, damn. Wilder needs to stay away from the microphone, though, because I don't know what the hell he's saying. He's like a Neanderthal. He's like some ancient beast. Like, you know,
I
like
go that far.
He's an ancient
far.
Beast that's only good at fighting.
That.
Like, it's like you don't want him. His daughter will not go to him for homework help, okay? But you're like,
I interviewed him, and I actually get more of an intelligence vibe off of him. I've never put a lot of stock in. You know, you've just been in like 36 minutes of combat with a top fighter. And then you got to talk articulately. I mean, who knows
right,
what's
right.
going through their bodies?
I'm at the press conference. I'm completely fine with him talking after the fight. I'm in his press conferences. He gets a little, like, real crazy. And, like, his interviews, he just sounds, like, straight up. I mean, he's from Alabama, though, right? So, I mean, it's whatever. I like Wilder. He's funny.
I'm saying, before he's even taken a punch, who's the guy? I mean, Al Heyman's supposed to be this great advisor, and yet he lets him walk out in, like, robo camouflage guy. Like, what was that?
Vega. Like, I don't know if y'all have played Street Fighter, but he was Vega. Like, that.
Is that,
like,
what it was?
I don't even know. Like,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, there's a character named Vega. True. Like, look up Google Vega and you'll
Vega.
See the mask. But on a serious note, man. I don't know what's gonna happen this year in boxing. I was actually looking forward to a few fights. I don't even know what fights are coming up now. Amir Khan's kind of, like, you know, He's doing the glory thing.
This thing was more Eyes Wide Shut. It was a little more Eyes Wide Shut. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Vega. I think it's more Tom Cruise than Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, Vega. Yeah, he had a little something going on. You know, he just needed the Spanish music going on. But I don't know. The Floyd Mayweather thing didn't surprise me. But I want to say about the Floyd Mayweather thing. Guys like Stephen A. Smith, okay, who live and die by these African-American athletes despite what they do. And I'm not trying to get, like, too racist or anything or make it a racial issue, but when it comes to Stephen A. Smith about the Pacquiao thing between Floyd and Pacquiao and guys like him, it's a thing where Floyd Mayweather is African-American, and I'm going to go by what he says and what he tells me, supposedly. And there's an episode last week, First Take, and Skip Bayless tells him, well, I don't think the fight's going to happen. And Stephen A. Smith just goes on and on about Pacquiao getting knocked out, and Floyd told him the fight was going to happen, and Floyd's a great fighter, and all that, you know. And he's basically saying the fight's going to happen, and then, of course, he just falls through again. Duh. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith is just going to keep acting nonchalant about it, like it doesn't matter because it's eventually going to happen. It doesn't matter if it happens now. We don't want the fight now.
Exactly.
He's not talking as a boxing fan. He's talking as a strictly a Floyd fan, and that's bad media. Like, this is the type of media that's out there for the mainstream fans. Like, you have a guy who's been to court multiple times, jail a few times, with assault and the drug thing with Showtime, you know. And this is America's poster boy for boxing now, and I don't understand that. Like, when Ali was doing great things. And I'm not the biggest Ali fan, but when Ali was doing great things, it took years after for people to actually appreciate him for what he was doing and actually look up to him for what he was doing outside of the ring. And that's what really boosted him and has held him to the status of being the best of all time, is what he did outside of the ring, because years later people started appreciating it.
But people appreciate Floyd for no reason. Right, but you got
to
look at, too, the times of America. Very arrogant at that time when Muhammad Ali was around. We're trying to make up, and this is the bad part, okay? We're trying to make up for being arrogant by being accepting, by being liberal. At the same time, we're being liberal, and we're lying to ourselves. We're being liberal to certain things that we shouldn't be liberal about. We shouldn't be so accepting. We need to be conservative in certain things. We're allowing athletes, not just in boxing, but in basketball, football, to be okay. We're giving them excuses rather than going, these guys don't belong, and having the privileges of making money, taking my money, being on TV, and doing what they love to do because they're not doing things right. Rob, I'm going to let you go because we got so many people on the line, okay? But I always appreciate when you call in, brother.
Yeah, man, no doubt.
Thanks, man. Peace.
Five fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. Let's talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring. As always, like I told you, hey, you guys were excited about the Al Haymon movement and all this other stuff. We're going to burst your bubble here on Leaving the Ring because that's what we do. Think out the box. So let's go with area code 347. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
What's up, guys? This is Mike from Queens. How you doing?
Mike, what's up, brother?
What's
How you doing, man?
What's going on? The previous caller talked about the Mayweather-Pacquiao stuff. I was just thinking, do you guys ever notice that anytime Todd DeBuff talks about Mayweather or they're in the same area, there's always pictures and videos of them hugging and, oh, man, like being best of friends. But when it's time for Mayweather-Pacquiao negotiations, you never hear Todd DeBuff talking. It's always Bob. Oh, there's problems with Bob. I mean, Ariza went off yesterday. You guys probably seen it, but no one can work with Bob. No one can work with Bob. Well, then why isn't Bob just not... Bob's 80-something years old. Why doesn't he just stay home and let Todd take care of it? I mean, the guy's been grooving for the last 30 years, no? Like, I just never got that.
Maybe because it's a bullshit reason. Because what's the difference between Todd and Bob? You know what I mean? I mean, there's no difference. It's the same company. It's Top Rank. I mean, if you want to make money and you want to make a fight, you make a fight, make the money. It's the one guy in the history of the sport that seems to be like, no, I'm good. I don't want this. I mean, it's the pinnacle. It's what, you know, you kind of dream of, every fighter. Oh, no, fuck that. I don't want that. You know, the guy that, even after being knocked out, people still want to see Pacquiao face this guy. Ah, no, I'm good. I'll wait. I mean, dude, like R.A. pointed out when he was on the show, and I thought it was just so, like, I didn't even think about it. They're, like, 3-4 years older than Leonard and Hearns were when they rematched, and everybody said, oh, they're too old. Who cares about that fight? We've been conditioned to crap for so long in the Mayweather
yep.
era. It's ridiculous. It's kind of sad. I mean, the last vestiges of really good fights was De La Hoya and Trinidad, at least in the middle classes, you know. But we haven't – where is the danger? I mean, why is the crop so thin, too? I kind of wonder about that. I mean, I've been writing a long piece about the drug war and how I think it's kind of killed off some of our best and brightest. And we've also been in a war for the last decade, so we've probably killed off a lot of able-bodied people there that might have ended up being boxers or whatnot, you know. So I think that right now, I mean, what Floyd is offering, I mean, do you want to pay $100 for that fight, or do you want to pay $80 for – any other fight besides that fight?
Another
choice between the two. It's two separate questions.
Yeah, I mean, of course you want to see Mayweather Pacquiao, but at the same time, I'd rather see, for a while we weren't getting any fights. Like, I'd rather see Jesus Soto Carrasco versus Josecito Lopez. You know what I mean? I'm a fan like that, like a fun fight
right.
rather than two guys who are, these guys got a big name, this guy's got a big name, and they've been avoiding each other for 5 years. Let's get happy about it. I'd rather see guys
who... And that's
what
boxing is now. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like everybody's, like, so jumping up and down what Al Heyman's bringing. Those are good fights, man. But are they going to build up to being great fights in terms of you're going to see somebody 5 years or three, 5 years from now where they could be in a super fight? Absolutely not. These are guys at the tail end of their career, and we're praising about that as a main event? That's just that's ridiculous. Like, we're like, what? That's what we've settled for. So we can't blame media. We can't blame promoters. We can't blame matchmakers. We got to blame ourselves as fight fans, and we got to really cleanse ourselves, reevaluate what we like and what we want to watch.
You just hope the new era of fighters don't. Like, doesn't the Mayweather kind of stuff doesn't rub off on the new fighters? Like, Errol Spence, a guy who I'm really big on, I hope 5 years from now he's not talking about how much money he's got or talking about his car and why he doesn't want to fight this guy. You know what I mean? It's just,
I hope not.
Yeah, it's like Errol Spence, if you see him interviewed now, he's like a good guy. You don't want to see him be Adrian Broner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't want to see that, you know? I want to be able to root for somebody without having to be like, oh, yeah, he's good, but. I don't want the butt. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
so
right,
confident,
exactly.
But there's always a butt.
You think about, like I watched, like, you know, like, you know, here comes the Tito Trinidad reference. But, you know, Tito and Oscar. I mean, Oscar frustrated me because it seemed like he always got guys at the right time. Now that I'm, you know, been a reporter and just a mature person, I get it. That's what the business is. It's a business. And you're supposed to get the guy at the right time. But the fights were still tough, and they were still exciting, and they were still dangerous. I don't care that Ike Corte was on a long layoff. He was dangerous, and Oscar ran that gauntlet. Floyd kind of passed that gauntlet. It was strange. And Broner's kind of seemed to want to pass that gauntlet. And then when he got in with, like, Maidana, who really shouldn't even be a contemporary, it just showed, like, nothing. And so I hope, you know, what I hope is that these guys that are fighting now, Thurman, you know, Guerrero, Josecito Lopez, and Berto, which I think will lead to this. I think those guys will be in the mix at some point with Errol Spence. Probably more that matchup than the winner of Thurman Guerrero, who might move up towards Mayweather territory. Because I think Thurman's going to knock him out, or at least put him down a couple times and have a decisive win. But I think, like, you know, the Bruno Berto, Josecito Lopez, they have to face Errol Spence. Those are good names for him. And I think he can beat them both. I think that dude's special. Like, that's probably the next guy I'd be looking at, you know, just a career that you want to follow intently. He seems to be the goods. I've interviewed him a few times and I think a couple times. And he just seems, like you say, like, he's just very humble. I hope he doesn't turn into that other thing. But it just doesn't strike me as, you know, there's a reason why there's a rumor that he knocked Adrian Broner down, not the other way around. I think it's because he's very serious about his business.
And put it this way, if there was a rumor the other way, don't you think, say there was a rumor Adrian Broner knocked down him, don't you think Adrian Broner would have talked about it and you see Errol Spence kind of like, oh, no, that didn't happen that way, you know?
But, yeah, exactly. The first time I interviewed Errol, he just kind of played it down. I didn't really want to talk about it. And I'm like, cool, you know? That told me everything I needed to know, that you know, gym stories are just that, you know? Whatever happens in there is just, you know, shit happens. Like,
right,
MMA
right.
guys get that. I mean, they tap out all the time. And tapping out is not a big deal, you know. It's just you're learning. So in boxing, I think we make more of it. But I think if they faced each other, I think that Errol would knock Adrian Broner out. I just think he's a way better fighter, and I think his power is for real.
I agree.
Thanks for calling
guys,
in, brother.
I just got one more question. Just one more quick question. I don't want to rush
you. No worries. Fit it in. No problem.
Gabe, I tweeted you earlier today. Either it was literally today or yesterday. I forget. But about the CRI testing about John Jones. I couldn't, like, explain it because Twitter, you know, is only 140 characters, but I'm a John Jones fan, and if he passed the CRI testing, why is people still, like, giving him crap, though? You know, I don't understand that. But CRI testing, CIR testing, is that's the best form of testing, no? And if he passed it, I don't see why people are still giving him crap. You know what I mean?
I think because the numbers show, this is just my opinion, the numbers show that he isn't clean. And, you know, it's kind of like Occam's razor, the simplest answer, right? Like, you look at all of his TE, not just his TE ratios, and it's a nice sampling because you've got, like, what, two tests? You know, the first sample was diluted, and we got to throw out there was this rumor that he was hiding under the ring when sample collectors came. Nobody's, you know, it's been whispered a lot by a lot of people. It hasn't been substantiated, but it's out there. His sample was watery, so they go another one, and you know, they finally get to test that. And then they test him a couple weeks later. And all of them had his total TE was really low, like really low. And his TE ratio was really low and just really off. You know, it doesn't always have to be high. It could be suppressed. And just looking at the data, and this is all, like I was actually listening to another interview with him, with Victor Conte on SureDog yesterday. That's not the only guy I've talked to about it. You see, Don Catlin who's the head of the UCLA Medical Testing Lab. Actually, I don't have to rush through this. This is in TNR. I'm going to take my time with it. TNR is more of a news kind of like, you know, show to show. I can take my time and just really ramble here. With Jones, his total T was low all three times. His TE ratio was super low. And according to Victor and even like Catlin, a couple other sources that I've talked to that aren't on the record, looking at the data, and this is why they went to, you know, initially they didn't do CIR, and then they looked at the data, and it, I think in water code, if somebody's low like this, like two times, or maybe it's three, it's one of those, it's no higher, they will automatically order CIR testing because it looks funky. And when you use testosterone, it suppresses your total T. It suppresses your body's ability to produce it. It's basically like your body can only produce and hold like so much. And so if you're introducing extra T, then your body's like, all right, I don't need to create like, you know, 50 milligrams or 35, you know, the nanograms, I'm sorry, a day. I'll stop because I'm already getting a bunch. And so when you come off of it, say even just to clear it, you know, within a few hours or a couple of days, you know, depending on how you're taking it, it'll clear out for the testers. It takes a while for your testosterone in your body to turn back on and realize, okay, none's coming in, and then the signal. Like, it's pretty fascinating listening to Conte talk about it because they were like, well, how do you know this, basically? And he was like, and he talked about this on the Joe Rogan show. He said, well, I tested the cream and the clear out on myself, and I found within like 4 days this kind of testosterone-type product shut my testosterone down to zero, and then it took a while for it to come back on. I mean, that's a cheater right there telling you, a former cheater, exactly how it works. And so that's the guy that was looking at it first, and then other people caught on, like Don Catlin and others that are respected people, and said, whoa, there's something wrong here. And you know, I like John Jones too. I think he's you know, one of the best fighters in the world, if not the best. But doing cocaine actually doesn't have that effect. And he said he only did it one time. So, well, then obviously that wasn't the thing he was doing that lowered his testosterone. Drinking does take it down. It does kill your testosterone. It kind of makes your estrogen get all get out of whack as well, and it's not good for you. And it's
right.
That may have had the effect. Overtraining it's possible. And the way these guys make weight, their endocrine systems could be totally jacked up. But, I mean, to me, a guy over a three-week period like that with testosterone that low, it's very questionable because he's not – is he tapering in that period? Is he not training as much? Because if he's not training as much because he's making weight, then he's resting more, which means his testosterone should go up significantly in the three-week period. Instead, it's super low. So I think that's why. But, you know, the CIR thing, to answer that, we don't have the numbers. And honest, and you know, I've heard – that's why I'm confused by the results. I heard that his CIR or his T was so low, there was something wrong with his samples, but they weren't able to do CIR effectively. And then all of a sudden I heard, okay, he's passed. And even the way it was announced, like Kevin Ioli was covering the story, and I'd heard that like the day before the decision had been made to order CIR testing. And then all of a sudden I heard immediately that he had passed. And I thought that was a little quick. I heard you can do it maybe a 24-hour turnaround in a super rush, but it seemed pretty fast to do this test. So that kind of got me wondering. And you know, I'm not saying anybody's corrupt here, but I'm saying I don't really trust. After what the UFC did to Kung Lee, I just don't trust any of this system, especially any NSAC. I don't trust them. I'm sorry, but you know, just out of experience. They say they follow a lot of code, and yet Kevin Ioli is saying – in his articles covering this, and he's as close to them as anybody, if not more, that they still have a 6-to-1 CE ratio. Well, that's not WADA code. So either you're doing it or you're not. I bet you, I would bet like anything that at least three fighters on that UFC card rehydrated after making weight using IVs. Now, WADA allows it to a certain point, but certainly not like 4 or 5 saline bags like most people do in boxing and in MMA in order to rehydrate. That's not WADA code, but they allow it. So that's all bullshit. Just because you use a WADA lab, as they're doing with Salt Lake City, doesn't mean you're following WADA code. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, just to keep going with this, to cite like Jean Pascal and Kathy Duva are having this issue, right, where he says wants testing. And she's like, look, I don't want unregulated testing. Give me WADA, which seems to be the only company that is out there that's like, look, we're not going to haggle. We're going to tell the commission. We're going to tell, you know, whoever is medically allowed or legally allowed, such as the promoter and the fighter and the team that they designate. But the commissions have to know and the Association of Boxing Commissions have to know. And, you know, they also send it off to WADA that somebody tests positive, right? That's the group that Kathy wants to use. No, Victor Conte doesn't own them or run them, because if that were true, then his fighters would be doing WADA, which they're not. And I'll let them speak to that relationship. But so Pascal wants this testing where if somebody tests positive, you just pay a fine and the fight keeps going. That sounds a lot like what I've accused USADA and Floyd Mayweather of agreeing to, you know, of kind of cutting the commission out and just figuring out a way to deal with the positive. And that's, I think, what has happened in Canada with that program that I helped design and it got cut out of. And that's one of the things I didn't recommend, was letting a fight go if somebody tested positive. And that's what Pascal wants. He wants to kind of control the testing. And I just think that that's not going to work, man. We need the commissions and the ABC to all agree, and the sanctioning bodies to all agree on a third party to do testing. And then that would be the problem. I'm just trying to wrap it all up. But that's just kind of an end around of doping that's going on right now.
Exactly. No, I agree with you all the way and stuff. You got this guy, double A boxing and stuff. But let me pass in some more fight fans really quick, because we got a lot of calls and we got to fit everybody in.
I hope that answers this question. I think it probably answered about five of them.
I know. And it's one of the biggest things that people have gripes about leaving the ring, that they're like, hey, I didn't get on. I wasn't able to have a chance to ask my question. Let's go with area code 619, you're on live right now. Leave your ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Renzo from, I was going to say Leave Your Ring, from Boxeo Tijuana Radio. How are you guys doing?
What's up,
man? Well, you are from Leave Your Ring, brother.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
You guys? Just saying hi. Pretty good. I'm about to cross the border, so I'm going to make it very, very quick here. What's going on with Cotto, guys? What is your guys' take on Cotto not taking the fight with Canelo? Even though everybody knows that he's basically, you know, Canelo's being, it's pushing Cotto to take the fight on a date that nobody really wants to fight if you're going against Floyd Mayweather, if you're going to be competing against Floyd Mayweather. But do you guys really think that there's an offer made by, was made by, you know, by Mayweather for him to fight him? I mean, he's basically saying no to the biggest payday he can get currently, and he doesn't have anything. I mean, what do you guys think?
I tweeted out earlier an interview we had with Freddie Roach on Leaving the Ring talking about Miguel Cotto. What does he want? He wanted a rematch, and this is way back, okay? Now, he's just like the fight fans. He got fooled by it. He got sucked into it. And guess what? He's going to pay the price for it. He's going to be, you know, whether it's little money or not, he can get the biggest payday with Canelo. But the fact is that this guy thinks that because he has Freddie Roach and because he was able to get rid of Sergio Martinez, that he can have that level of having a chance of beating Floyd. I mean, that's what he's looking for, to be the first man to beat Floyd Mayweather. Gabriel?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, here's a guy that's put it all back together in a sense. I mean, you can only beat the guy in front of you. And so, you know, I can only dog the guy for so long about beating Martinez in the shape he was in. Cotto has learned the game. He's been brought up by Bob Arum, you know, in that whole system to get an advantage and to exploit that advantage, get a belt and exploit having it. And that's what he's doing here. And you know, it's, you know, Floyd always says it's chess, not checkers. And I think he's played it very well. And you know, I mean, he had one of the biggest fights out there in the Canelo fight, and now he can have a shot at Floyd again. I think in his mind, he came pretty close. He came as close as just about anybody.
Right.
You know, so I think he's probably looking at it like, you know, why the hell not? You know, let's give it another shot. And I think fight fans need to just ease up. It is a good fight. I actually would have felt like that. I wanted to see that fight more again than I did the Madonna fight, to be honest.
The Madonna fight. Yeah, I was going to say that. True. The Madonna fight. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, you know, let's see it. I mean, people just are so quick. Remember, Canelo's young. And if Floyd, you know, if Canelo and Cotto, or I'm sorry, Cotto and Floyd are at least competitive again, and he's able to do some new things, and it's not just a sham of a fight. Even if he loses his title, you know, maybe they go again, probably not, but you wouldn't see Cotto Canelo. That fight's always going to be there, and he's always going to have Puerto Rican fans that will come see him, especially if he doesn't get knocked out. But, you know, maybe even if he gets robbed against Floyd, how great would that be for him? Or, you know, just kind of a moral victory kind of fight. He comes back to Canelo, who maybe picks up a belt in the interim or something, and then you still got something. I don't think he's going to stop being a franchise.
You know, here's the thing, too, that Canelo, I mean, I'm sorry, Cotto and Mayweather is probably going to go on pay-per-view and stuff like that. And it's really not going to draw that attraction or that big crowd that most want. That, you know, if Al Heyman, like most people are thinking in their mind frame, you know, this is great. It's going back on free TV. That should be on free TV with fighters that you're trying to build up behind them so you could see them. You have a chance to see guys that could carry on in the sport for longevity. But that's not going to happen. Why? Because it's got to go on Showtime pay-per-view. Lorenzo, anything else, brother?
Million.
No, not much. I'm about to cross here, so gonna say goodbye. We're coming back with Boxeo Tijuana Radio and something new pretty soon. So, you know, be looking out there for it. It's gonna be very, very good.
I know, brother. I'm missing the show, man. Thanks for calling in.
Bye, guys. Take care.
Area code 813. You're on live right now. Leave a ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Hector Franco. I'm from Tampa, Florida. I'm a big fan of the show, guys. You know, Gabe, I really like how you bring some sociological aspects of the show to boxing itself. But like the drug war and, you know, the PEDs. But what I wanted to talk about tonight was, and I wanted to know if you guys agreed with me, was I wanted to talk about Top Rank and marketing and how these fights in China, I think they've kind of given Pacquiao, they haven't done due diligence with how they've promoted him with these fights in China. And the reason being is that, you know, I know that I've heard the show, and I know we're not the biggest fans of the 24/7 show, but having one episode come on at 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and then a 15-minute special with Timothy Bradley and Virgil Hunter, which I liked, but, you know, the only way I found out about it was on YouTube later. And I just feel that, you know, Pacquiao is one of the few guys who, on pay-per-view, his product is inside the ring. Floyd's product is outside of the ring. If we look at, you know,
right.
The first Morales fight, the second Morales fight, the Marquez fights, De La Hoya, Cotto, Margarito, even the second Bradley fight, all these fights delivered on pay-per-view as pay-per-view main events. So
I think, well, here's the thing. I think that it answers a lot of when people go like, well, Manny depends on what Bob Arum is going to say. Let's be honest here. Is Manny's the star power that can actually make decisions? Why are they happening in China? He answered that question. The taxes, you know?
Yeah.
He shows that he can make decisions, you know? He can make decisions. We make up excuses for our fighters. We make up excuses for our sport. If we stop these excuses, our sport can be better. That's why I keep saying it over and over. Guys, we're the blame. We make our sport shitty because we keep making excuses. We're housewives that keep making excuses for our husband that keeps beating the shit out of us over and over. You know, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to accept the responsibility of what we've created? Gabriel?
I'm going to tell you, I mean, over here, I mean, in Tampa, there's not a lot of boxing fans over here. And I can tell you that there's definitely blowback from, you know, Pacquiao not fighting Mayweather and vice versa. So, you know, a lot of the fights now are kind of seen like when I ask people if they want to see it, it's like, oh, who's he fighting? And they're like, ah, he's just going to win anyway. So it's kind of turned into WWE in a way where it's kind of predetermined in a way. But, you know, with Pacquiao, I just feel like he fights with China. If they were going to put him in China, which they did, why do pay-per-view? Because, you know, if they didn't do pay-per-view, they could have, you know, I think I read an article a couple years ago where Steve brought this up, Steve Kim, about Pacquiao fighting in Hawaii. Now, I used to live in Hawaii, so I know how expensive it is over there and the taxes wouldn't work. But Pacquiao could sell out any stadium in Hawaii. And if they put Brian Valoria, you know, Juan Francisco Estrada on the undercard, it would without a doubt sell out. So to me, it's like, if you're not going to market Pacquiao as one of the best fighters in the world anymore, and then at the very least, he's the most exciting on pay-per-view or that you could put on HBO World Championship Boxing. So why not have, you know, at least a lively crowd? Because in China, you know, I think one of the reasons that we didn't care as fans about it is because it's not like, I mean, how many of us boxing fans could go over there to actually watch the fight? I mean, how many of us could afford to go to China and on top of that, all the tickets for it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I get the sense with the marketing that it is, it's happening because they've already got their money, you know. It's like, well, just, you know, throw up a commercial, throw one episode and just to remind people and kind of point them there. But you're right. Like it is kind of strange. It's not pushed the way Floyd is. And maybe it is because the product speaks for itself. But I also think because they're not really that worried about that market anymore. I think Pacquiao's going to sell what Pacquiao's going to sell, especially after getting knocked out. It's hard to really rebuild a guy when that image is always still there, you know?
You know what's the sad part about that knockout is that, you know, knockouts really make people forget, but that fight was awesome. That fight was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And
that was a good fight.
Everybody who I watched the fight with was, like, you know, just amazed. You know, everybody was standing up. I remember I live in, you know, Tampa, Florida. It's more of an MMA, Muay Thai crowd, and everybody, you know, If people watch boxing, they watch Pacquiao or Cotto over here. And, you know, Cotto really is probably the only other guy who's delivered on pay-per-view besides
Hector.
You know,
Hector, I'm from San Jose. I'm from San Jose, California, and that's like the mecca of USC. And everybody in that city was jumping up and down when that happened. Hector, I got to let you go, bro, because we got so many people calling in. Hey, thanks for calling in, man. Call back in for next week, okay?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Let's keep it down the line here. We got so many calls, man. We're trying to fit everybody in. We got about another 30 minutes here. I'm losing my voice completely now. It was coming back, but it's definitely it's going away. So hopefully we can do a show next week. Area code 931. You're on live right now. I'll leave the ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, my carnales? It's Eduardo from Fort Lauderdale, baby. How y'all doing?
Good,
hey,
brother.
Up,
how you doing, man?
Man, fantastic. Yo, that last caller is on point. Let me let you know that right now. I'm sorry, I hate to always sound so repetitive, but just because Pacquiao lost or he got KO'd, what does that really mean? You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, nowadays, these casual fans are ruining our sport. Oh, he got knocked out. Oh, he lost. Who gives a, you know, who cares? You know, Muhammad Ali lost, Frazier lost, Benitez lost, Gomez lost. Everybody loses. I mean, come on, how are you going to punish somebody or look down upon somebody because they lost? It's just ridiculous. I don't understand. I mean, yo, big up to the last caller. You know, I just don't understand the hate with Manny Pacquiao. I really don't understand. I really don't understand it, man.
Yeah, I've never really understood it either. I was watching, Pacquiao Barrera 1 today, and it was just like, I was marveling at his footwork too, and kind of going back how people denigrated his skill. Like, he was not always kind of crude, and he's not very good. And I'm like watching him just box around Marco Antonio Barrera, super quick feet. You know, both are very quick. When he's inside, he works. Like, he's kind of doing all the things you want a guy to do. I don't understand. I thought this guy sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never really understood why people hate on it. But a lot
right.
of people hate on Felix Trinidad too. You know, he's not that good of a boxer. Really? He won a world title at 20. You know?
Yeah.
I've never really gotten that. You know, people, they mix mentality with style or ability. You know, some guys
mm-hmm.
just like to get it on. Some guys don't. And
yeah.
that's, you know, the guys that do, like Kirkland, it looks super sloppy because they're just going for it like crazy. Hagler Hearns doesn't look, it's not a ballet. It's a
oh,
it's
absolutely
a rough
not.
And tumble
no,
fight.
No way.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand boxing fans sometimes. But, you know, I don't denigrate Pacquiao for getting knocked out. Like the guy said, it was a great fight, and he was fighting an aggressive fight, so of course he got knocked out. That's what
mm-hmm.
was going to happen, you know. But
yeah.
boxing fans, you know, they know better.
Actually,
well,
absolutely.
I would not say boxing. I want to keep it casual, these damn casuals. And
casuals,
and,
yeah, we're Floyd fans.
Hey, but we've
yeah,
created
I mean,
that, though, Eduardo. Eduardo, we've created that. I mean, how do
yeah.
boxing, how do casual fans know about this sport? By guys like us that go and tell them, hey, come and watch something. And we tell them to come and watch the biggest fight. And then
yeah.
they end up going, man, this guy's great. I'm going to follow it. They don't follow the sport. They follow who you introduce them to.
Yeah,
where's the blame?
Good point. Good point.
Where's the blame,
because
brother?
Yeah, because, you know, I was a pretty boy fan until that money crap came into. I was a pretty boy fan, you know, when he fought
right.
Baldemir, then Gotti, and all this crap. I was like, what the hell's going on here? You know, I guess it's just hip-hop reality TV world star bullshit culture that's coming in. I mean, I don't understand. I mean,
right.
yeah, the man loses, but at least them, you got to give him credit for at least stepping up to the plate and challenging himself. I don't understand what's wrong with the man challenging himself. Like Kirkland, how could you not like Kirkland? How could you not like Morales? How could you not like Barrera, like you said, or Marquez? I mean, Marquez lost. I'm just saying, I don't understand.
Well, okay, so that's where we go into. Look, we introduced fans back in the days to certain fights in the 90s. That's why you have hardcore fans right now. But as the millennium, we haven't been doing it. Let me ask you this. How many guys were introducing before it happened, when it was being announced? Because I remember this. I had actual hardcore fans go, Corrales and Castillo was not going to be a good fight. And I was telling people, dude, this is going to be an awesome fight.
Mm-hmm.
We were not introducing casual fans, telling them, hey, come over for a barbecue. Let's hang up.
Yeah.
Let's hang out. because this is going to be a great fight. We weren't doing that. We were only advocating the names that people would recognize. Stop trying to get casual fans or people that don't watch the sport to come and watch a recognizable name. Somebody they go, oh, yeah, I know who that is. Stop that. Bring them down and say, hey, man, you ever see this kid named so-and-so? Check him out. That's how you introduce him. Eduardo, I got to let you go, brother. I want to take only three more calls, and I got to end the show. Thank you, brother.
My respect, my brothers. Respect.
Hey, back at you, man. Appreciate it.
Fight fans, way to keep it going. Taking a couple more calls over here, man. I'm really losing my voice and stuff, and I apologize. I know we got about, 40 more minutes and stuff, but let's keep it rolling. Let's go with area code 714. You're on live right now in Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother? 714, you out there? Nope. No, and then everybody else just dropped out of the board right now because I guess they thought that we were going to end the show. And it was
Mike
drop. I know. Mike dropped over here because we got really real. Again, our sport's never going to change until we start looking at ourselves and say, hey, man, this is the problem. The problem is that we advocate things that we're willing just to go, well, it's boxing. And this is, if this is what we're going to take, this is what we got. Now, stop pitching about something that you're not happy with and you don't even like when you're accepting it. I mean, I don't know if people notice this, but I haven't been on Twitter a whole lot. I haven't been any type of social media. I'm watching, I'm looking, and I'm reading what a lot of folks do. And here's the thing. I see a lot of people go, man, this guy is so and no. This guy's this and that, and this person this and that. The media. Well, you're the same thing. We now have media people that are fight fans that become publicists, and they're defending the sport when they know deep inside our sport is in shambles. We are looking at the last days of our sport unless we do a rehab, not on the sport, but as a fan. We need a rehab as a fan. We need to understand that we're worthy to have great fights. And the only way we change that is by saying, man, we deserve great fights. Al Heyman's giving you something in short term, something to just satisfy you at the moment. But where's the rest of the meal? Why are we doing this to ourselves over and over? Every year, it seems to get worse. When are you going to wake up? Fans, when are you going to wake up? People that are doing podcasts, people that are starting up new websites and writing about the sport, when are you going to wake up? When are you going to realize that we're the problem? And the only way to fix the system is what? Is what? Clean it up within our own home, our backyard. Because our backyard's pretty shabby right now. Fight fans, again, thanks for tuning in on Leaving the Ring. As always, we're always going to go against the grain. We're the guys that are always going to burst the bubble. We're the guys you're always going to hate. We're the guys that are always going to be telling you the truth, man. I hate to say it. I hate to be that guy. I really do. You know, I honestly want to talk about fights. You know, you got Brandon Rios versus Mike Alvarado, but guess what? It's a replay, so you're probably going to see more or less the same. That's why we got the next round. They're going to break down the fights. Here on Leaving the Ring, we're going to tell you a little bit more than beyond the fights. Anyways, Happy New Year's to everybody. I hope to be back next week. It depends on all my voice. I'm in Illinois. If you're a fight fan, hit me up, man. Love to talk boxing all the time. If you're a fanboy that only wants to argue with me and you have no point, guess what? I'm just not going to interact with you. You really don't care for it, man. I don't have no time for that. Mr. Gabriel Montoya, it's always fun having you on the show. Always, you know, one of my best friends here. Outside of boxing, Mr. Gabriel Montoya, fight fans, don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer.
Dave, as always, fun show. Nice to see you with such energy today. I'll have what he's having.
Exactly. I know. Peace.